Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on a insanely busy Wednesday. I think when we have the Monday Night Football, it sort of compacts everything. We have the big Flyer stories, Sixers win, all of the Eagles stuff on top of it. Even a bunch of Phillies news, which we'll get to later as well. Joining us now to talk about the Eagles, as he does every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, is Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. What's up, Baldy?
Hey, Spike, not too much here. Just digesting all of week 10 and looking ahead to week 11 here. So, same spot, different week. That's all.
Big win for the Eagles. And I think the biggest highlight for us as Eagles fans was seeing Jalen Phillips' performance in his first game as an Eagle, which was really outstanding. When you rewatched it, when you saw it, what did you see from Jalen Phillips?
Well, I mean, he was the best defensive player on the field, either team. He's got an incredible presence, and it's everything. It's his ability. It's just his size and the way that he's constructed and what he looks like at left end. It's the way that Vic used him. It's the way that he played the run. Mm-hmm. The way that he collapsed pockets in the passing game. He just had an enormous presence out there, unlike almost anybody they've had in a long time. I mean, more than Josh Sweat or anybody else that's been there. And to see Nolan on the other side and, to see some of the packages that, Vic kind of created, with all the new personnel, whether it's Nakobe Dean starting or, the different looks that they had. I mean, he was a big reason why that defense played so great.
Yeah, we see him Monday night, Baldy, and obviously all of us get excited about that. And you know how we are. This is what we're going to expect just about every week. We know that's not realistic, but it doesn't mean people won't expect that. So I ask you, you think he has that ability to sort of just be a difference maker week in and week out? Like, the Eagles are going to need somebody to be that guy, that anchor guy on the outside. You think he has the ability to do that?
Well, I mean, he's going to go see Penei Sewell on Sunday night. He's as good as anybody out there.
Yep.
And so that's a good test just to see how he does against an elite player like that. Zach Tomlin, Green Bay, is a good player. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he looks at, Penei Sewell's in an unbeatable. I mean, he's got skills. I mean, his long arm is, his ability to dip and rip and bend. He's always been able to bend. He plays really hard. He makes everybody better. Everybody, whatever the cornerback number two on the left side is, he's going to make him better. When he starts, the thing I'm excited about, Ike, is Jalen Carter looks like Jalen Carter right now. Mm. He's really moving better. He's in better condition. He looks like he's having fun. I want to see some of the stunts that they can begin to run, to really kind of figure out different ways to get to the quarterback along with Nolan. Like, that can be a really elite defense line. They've got the depth there now with BG and everybody healthy. And so he's going to be a big part of whatever success they have going forward. In whatever game it is, as long as he's healthy, he's going to affect how they play defense right now.
Yeah. I want to tie that front seven in together, Baldy, with Jalen Phillips, Jalen Carter, and then Nakobe Dean being in that middle. Just talk about how much of a difference he's made over the last three games being out there with this Eagles run defense and sort of how they've gotten back to playing physical football like we saw last year.
Well, he's a violent player, you know, and, you know, his blitz on Jordan Love is what got the ball out of his hands and Jalen Phillips recovered it. But they were in scoring position when Vic sent him. And he, Josh Jacobs is a hell of a back. And he's as good in blitz pickup as anybody and ran right over him. Like, he just blasted him. And I hadn't actually seen a linebacker beat Josh like that before. I usually compliment him on his blitz pickup. But Nakobe blasted him. He has the ability just to, you know, really strike people. And it's the reason why he started. And it's not a knock on Jihad. Vic figured out a way to play all three of them, Zach Bond and Nakobe and Jihad. They played packages where we're all in the field together. But I feel like Nakobe Dean brings a physical presence that even Zach Bond makes a ton of tackles. Like, not many guys can splatter people like Nakobe can. It's just like a separate skill. And so I could get as many violent players on the field as you possibly can at one time.
It seems like, Baldy, that it's kind of left them trying to find the right place for Jihad Campbell with Nakobe coming back and playing as well as he has. You know, his snaps have been cut. You know, we even looking forward, if they re-sign Nakobe, even trying to think about where Jihad Campbell is, how do we have to think about him for the rest of the season and maybe even moving forward, given that his natural position is more similar to what Zach Bond does?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a juggling act for sure. He still played almost as many snaps as Nakobe. Some of them were outside where he doesn't really have the same effectiveness when he's playing in that, almost an outside linebacker role, although he seems to adjust to it just fine. We just haven't seen many pass rushes from him, and that's kind of what I thought we might see more of. But, you know, I think this, Spike, I feel like give me violent players and speed on defense, and they can cover for any mistake. And any alleys that open up, any sort of misdirection that you're going to see in a playoffs from Seattle or the Rams or Detroit, like that, those misdirection plays can get a lot of teams out of position to give up big plays as a result. Give me guys with great speed like Jihad has. They're going to have a role. They're going to limit the number of explosive plays. And so you're right. There is a juggling act to it. I feel like Vic is okay with it. I don't think he's sitting there going, well, I got to, you know, this guy's got this many snaps. I got to get this guy. I got to put him on the field for this. I think that, you know, the formations and the teams that they're playing are going to dictate the positions that guys play, because Jihad played off the ball inside linebacker as well last week next to Zach. But I feel like just give me as many good football players as you can, and Vic will figure out a way to share the snaps.
So, Baldy, there was another acquisition, you know, not Michael Carter, talking about Jaire Alexander, that, you know, it was weird that he didn't travel, we thought, with the team. And then we got the announcement yesterday that he was stepping away for a time. Do you know anything about that? Did that surprise you at all? It was just sort of a, seemed like kind of a stunner.
Yeah, it stunned me. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, when guys want to step away from the game, do they want to play the game? That's the first. That's my initial inclination. Do you want to play the game? You know, you got a chance to come to a Super Bowl winning team and a team that really wants to get back to another Super Bowl. And there is a path to do that. And to say that you want to step away, I just feel like whatever his issues are off the field, whether it's just health or mental health, whatever it might be, I don't know. Because I don't know Jaire that well. But you would think that going back to Green Bay where it all started, like, you would have think that that would be like the best timing possible,
right,
to come join the Eagles in a bye week and to get ready to go back and play Green Bay. Like nothing would probably motivate a player that was kind of let go for the most part and allowed to go play in free agency. And, you know, teams give up on them. You want to go show them that they made a mistake. So none of it really adds up to me, except that I would just ask the question, how bad do you really want to play?
Brian Baldinger with us. Reminder, Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. So we had sort of a, you know, against the Giants, an explosion from the running game. Even we saw some signs of it against the Vikings. And then it felt like a bit of a step back on Monday night against the Packers. Is that something the Packers did? Like, what did you see it from an offensive perspective from the Eagles and their inability to get the running game really going again?
Well, they lost Lane for a while in that game, and Fred went in there, and Fred's a good player. He played well, but they lost sort of the jumbo package that they liked with Fred. That was one thing. Then they had a hard time with Evan Williams. It's sort of an unblocked safety, and he blew up a couple of plays. He had negative plays. And, you know, sometimes you got to figure out a way to handle that eighth guy or that extra guy. Mm-hmm. And he fit, like, and that's Jeff Heffley, the defense coordinator. He's really talented. And so I thought they had a hard time doing that. And then when they did have a good running play, I mean, I saw Saquon had a 15-yard run, you know, early in the game. They got the second-level block. If you don't block Edger and Cooper and Quay, you know, and Quay, like, they're going to make the tackles. And that's just not just them. That's a good defense. You've got to hit the second-level block. And I thought they had a hard time getting to the second level for whatever reason because they covered up the inside. I thought they got decent movement at times. They just didn't get the number of alleys and the big plays that we saw, you know, obviously against the Giants, they got the 65-yarder, and that kind of opened things up. But I just didn't think they handled the extra guy real well in the run game.
Yeah, when Jordan Mailata, we've sort of made a joke about it when we do his show here every week, is when he's saying we're one block away, I get the sense from what he says and what you say that it is that second-level block that they're not getting that gave Saquon that ability to have those huge explosive plays last year that they're not getting this year.
Well, you know, there's an old formula for all of that, honestly, Ike, and that is if you want to get those safeties from being nosy, then you got to throw the ball down the field, and you got to get them thinking deep ball first, you know, and make them, you know, because if they feel like you're not going to attack them down the field, they're going to be nosy as hell, and they'll be all around it. And that guy Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney, those guys are really good at it, you know, and they kind of know where the play is going, and they know where the gap is, and they hit it, and you know, it's every good defense is a gap defense, and they know exactly where to go, and so. That's one thing is you could throw the ball a lot better and you could get them back where they belong, like 12 yards off the ball, back at, you know, some, you know, tandem safety position.
Baldy Sunday is going to be a heavyweight fight. I even like the undercard at 4.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Clock, I believe. I think the Rams play Seattle at 4:00 Sunday.
Yeah.
But the main event is going to be the Eagles in Detroit, man. How excited are you to see these two teams match up Sunday night? Could be a preview of the NFC Championship game.
Well, it could be. It could be. You know, I think that, you know, just watching Detroit just take Washington apart. Mm. I mean, just abuse them. I mean, they put up 40. They could have put up 60, honestly. They had no answer for Jameson Williams. They had no answer for Jahmyr Gibbs. Amon-Ra St. Brown caught a pass anytime he wanted to catch a pass. Like, they've got real weapons, and the offensive line played really well. And Jared Goff is generally, when he's protected, he's not turning the ball over. So how do they affect Jared Goff? Because if you don't get to him, he's going to attack you. And they've got home run hitters everywhere. So it's a great test for this defense. Great test. You know, we're all, you know, I'm here blowing up, you know, Jalen Phillips and Jalen Carter, and that's all great. But, you know, this is a top three offense in the league. And if you don't get to Jared Goff and affect him, any one of those guys I just mentioned can beat you over and over and over again. Jameson Williams come off the best game he's played all year, and they really got him involved. And what they did was they really isolated him against bad corners, and he went to work on him. You know, he went by him. He ran a 20-yard comeback and got 6 yards of separation on a corner. So I'm sure that they've got a Dory in their, you know, periscope, and they're going to go after him with a number of guys that, you know, I think that can, you know, get by him, or, you know, where he's going to struggle with them. So I'm anxious to see how they kind of protect that position in this game.
Baldy, I'm going to keep asking you this every week. Do you think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC currently?
I don't. No, I don't, because I don't think their offense can match what the Rams or Seattle are doing. Wow. Now, I say that, but yet I know when Matt Stafford is on his back, they're not very good. And I know when Sam Darnold's under pressure, he's going to give you one or two for sure. And you can, you know, and that's what they did to Arizona. The score was 35-0, you know, before they finished their first bag of popcorn on Sunday. So, you know, they can explode on you, both those teams. And we'll see what Detroit looks like. But I feel like the offense has to really, you know, they got to be better than what they are. They're very inconsistent right now. And to put up 10 points, even on Green Bay, I thought that was disappointing. So I think their offense has to improve and be consistently better right now, Spike, for them to be in that category of the Rams or Seattle, because those offenses show up every week.
Yep.
That's for sure. All right, Baldy. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, as always.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, likewise, guys. Yep. Talk to you.
There he is, Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at those top four teams in the NFC, the thing that separates them, and it's why people will not have the Eagles at the top, is the inconsistency on the offensive side of the ball.
For sure.
Yeah, because the Detroit, the Rams, and Seattle, you pretty much know what offense you're getting every week.
It feels like every time you look at their scores, they're at 30 points.
They're always in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Eagles currently are at offensively are at 24 points a game. Now, going into the Green Bay game, what's interesting is last year, with the games with Jalen, they're averaging, I think, 26.7 offensive points per game. Mm-hmm. Going into the Green Bay game, they were at 26.
Yeah.
You know, so, but they're down to 24 now.
Could get the 10-pointer in
there. Yeah.
Now, Detroit's defense isn't necessarily great. Aiden Hutchinson to get after you, the front seven to get after you a little bit, but
yeah,
the secondary, you can make some plays in that on that secondary.
215-592-9494. Abdul in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Abdul?
Good afternoon, fellas.
What up, Abdul?
I just got a few things to say about the A.J. Brown situation. A few questions to ask, first of all. You can answer if you want to, or you can answer after I'm done. One, where did he come from in college, and did he win? Two,
where did he play? Ole Miss?
Where was he, and was he winning? He was nothing before he got here. He'll be nothing after he leaves. We drag his baggage to the finish line, get him his second ring in an off season, kiss him goodbye. There's no need. As long as the team is winning, we're winning. Nobody else is complaining like him, and I understand it. He is a top wide receiver in the league. He do his thing, and I give him all his props. But the whine and the crying and all of the BS is the TikToks and all of those things that he doing is irrelevant to the game of football. The worst thing I think about today's game of football, and Ike might could account for this, is that the internet and all of that messes up the game, because locker room was locker room when Ike played.
Oh man, everything stayed in the locker room.
Ain't locker room. It's yeah. Always social media.
Yeah.
In the discussion.
Abdul, the interesting thing about what you said is, and I think the interesting thing listening to fans talk about this situation throughout the AJ thing, from the beginning of it, you know, year and a half ago or whatever, or even when he didn't talk to the media for a few weeks.
I think it kind of started towards the Fritz. What'd you say?
End of 23.
End of 23, right? That's kind of where it started.
End of 23.
Well, it started in week two, the Vikings game.
Oh, the Vikings game, you're right.
Well, they had the first public, like, spat thing.
Yeah.
And then the AJ didn't go on the plane to
Tampa. So the interesting thing is where fans have gone on it, because people love AJ and want to love AJ. So the beginning of this, even the beginning of this year, the stance was usually you're making too big a deal out of it, meaning us or fans or whatever, that it's not that big a deal. We got to get him the ball, so on and so forth. And I think most of that was because people want to love AJ and love AJ, but they have gotten to a point, I think, after winning a Super Bowl and then now being 7-2 and it's still happening. And by the way, it also happens after games where he does perform. I think fans, Abdul, are at the point where they're like, oh, we can't even stand up for it anymore. And the number of people who are saying, well, he has a point, he has a point, he has a point. Even if he does have a point, I think we're all on the same page where, yeah, you should get the ball more, but also this is this sort of stuff isn't what, not only not what we want, it's what there's no way the team wants it. Whether it bothers them or not is a different story, but they don't want it. And I just think it's interesting to see that everyone has come so far in their talking
about it. I think because it's still going on.
Because it's still happening.
Yeah, because it's still happening.
I get what everybody's saying, and I understand where he comes from, that he wants the ball.
Yep.
Everybody wants the ball. He's on one of the most loaded offenses in the NFL, to be honest. And some things that he does are lazy and sluggish. Like at the end, that on that fourth down play where they say that him and Jalen called their little thing, he could have hot pointed that ball. He could have attempted to move in towards the defender to make the ref pull his laundry out his pocket. There are things that he does that are lackluster as a top five wide receiver. I watch a lot of the games over and over again because I have an addiction to watching Jalen, and I have an addiction to watching Jalen that people say he don't see. He sees, and I agree with him, to be honest. If I'm not a gunslinger quarterback, then I'm not putting the ball in harm's way. If you open, you open. But if I put the ball in a spot and you don't high point it the way you should, why should I do it again? Case in point, Schmitty down the middle, high point the ball over the defender. He literally forced a play. Either you go get it or the ref's going to have to call something because you're touching on me too much. Simple.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. All right, Abdul. Yep. Good call, man. Yep. I appreciate it. Yeah, people don't want to hear about that. People want to – when I said at the beginning of the show, we don't want to – like, if you gave us a choice to talk about to have this happen or not have it happen, we would choose not have it happen so we don't have to talk about it. When the team is winning, people want good vibes. They want to be happy.
Yep.
And it makes it hard – you almost have to put blinders on to have this normal look. We can bitch about them scoring only 10 points or the fourth down, you know, decision to punt it or go for it. That's normal football.
That's normal.
Stuff.
Yeah, that's normal stuff.
It makes it hard to just enjoy 7-2. And when people watch sports to be happy. That is why it normally doesn't. And we've all been through decades of not happiness.
Yep.
To be given a team that is so good that they cannot play particularly well sometimes and still win is a gift, and it disrupts people's happiness. And we know this. We all know this could be gone in an instant.
Yep.
This could be gone next year. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody leaves. You know. And I think like the AJ stuff is disrupting everyone's joy in the Eagles team. You know?
Yeah. No. All I can say is, don't feed the media. We'll find a way to do our job. You don't have to help us do our job.
No.
You have to help us do our job.
No. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We had a different idea for today. Just pulling back the curtain, I had this whole other thing with the Eagles I was going to talk about today, and I sat down in the meeting and I exasperatedly said to you and to Jack, I said, we got to leave with the AJ thing, don't we? That's the real thing. You think, look, it's from a neutral standpoint, is it interesting? Sure, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. From a fan standpoint, it sucks.
Well, Anik, because it's been going on for 2 months now.
Right.
That's the real thing. It's like, oh, man, this thing is exhausting.
Yes.
I'm exhausted.
Yes. Don't talk about a friggin' Eagle.
I'm exhausted.
Yes. Yeah, stop going on Twitch.
I'd rather try to convince everybody Jalen's elite, man.
Yes. We have one of those fights again. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun?
I don't know. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
215-592-9494. A very interesting Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.